Welcome to the Dayspring Podcast, where we delve into faith and fellowship through the teachings of Christ. Join us every week as we explore God's Word and discuss how to live out your faith in today's world. Be blessed as you listen to this sermon.
We've been talking about Jesus throughout the year, and I just want to share this morning on something that I believe Jesus expects of us, that if we are able to subscribe to, like the way if you subscribe to a channel, it means you've clicked that you want to be receiving things from that channel. And if we subscribe to what Jesus wants from us, I believe we will be very blessed by it and we would end up in heaven with him. So even as we are dealing with Jesus, I want to talk about something that will be relevant to our Christian walk and that would help us all to be what God has called us to be. Are you ready for that this morning? So I'm speaking this morning on what I have titled Transformation. Transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, all of us have a certain idea of what transformation should look like. But Romans says this. Paul is writing to the Romans who have given their lives to Christ, and he's telling them this. These are believers. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Tell somebody, be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, it's a scripture that many of us are very much aware of. Even if you've been a Christian for a short time, I can tell you that you've had some kind of a contact with this scripture. And we want to look at it to help us to walk with God better, because the end of this scripture says we will be able to prove. And when we talk about proof, it means you bring evidence. So you will be able to bring evidence of what the perfect will of God is, what the acceptable will of God is, and what the good will of God is. And I pray that God will give you an evidence in your hand, something people can see and say, this is the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But he's telling us that in order to get to that point of having the evidence of the will of God in our lives, we are going to have to be transformed. We are going to have to be transformed. And that transformation has to go against something. And what the scripture is saying we have to go against is going against what the world is like, what the world is becoming, what the world is conforming to. We are supposed to go against the way the world system is. So when we look at the world and we look at you, we should see the difference. That you are not looking like the world you find yourself in. You are looking very, very different from what the world looks like. Is that what the scripture is saying? But one of my favorite movies is Transformers. You can judge me or not, but I find it very, very interesting. Because it's something that is fictional. It's not really something that can happen. But if you haven't watched it before, how many of you have watched Transformers before? Yeah. Did you enjoy it? It's just about cars transforming into aliens, okay? So these aliens are life forms that are like cyborgs. They are machines. And they are from outer space. And they come into the world. And in order for them to blend into the world, they transform into what they see. The leader of the Autobots, who are the good people, is Optimus Prime. And he sees a truck. And so he looks at the truck. He is able to scan the truck and then become the truck. So he takes on the image of the truck. All right? And so you see that because of that, they are called Transformers. They change. And then they are the bad people or the wicked people who are also the, what's the name? Decepticons. Okay. So they also do the same thing. They also transform. When we talk about transformation, it means to change from one state to another. It's changing from the way you are into another form. Okay? So these people, these entities from outer space, aliens, they see a car or an image and then they change into that. Paul is telling us that the same thing is going to happen to us, that we are supposed to transform as our mind transforms. So it means that your transformation must begin from your mind. It presupposes that the transformation that occurs can only occur from the information that you get. So what you receive triggers your transformation. Say, what I receive triggers my transformation. If you look at the word transformed, it comes from the metamorpho. It's a Greek word from which we get in the biology metamorphosis. So you see, metamorphosis occurs in, for example, a butterfly. When you see a butterfly, you would imagine that there is probably a state before the butterfly. Are you here? And that state before the butterfly is the caterpillar. Okay. And the caterpillar changes or metamorphosizes. Let me use transforms into a butterfly. Now, I try to study what happens with the caterpillar. Now, what it does is, it eats a lot, okay? It receives a lot of food. So when the transformation process is about to begin, it will eat a lot. Leaves, flowers, whatever it can get, it will just take in a lot of food. Now, when it's done taking in a lot of food, it begins to digest the food with certain enzymes. But as it begins to do that, it sticks itself to a safe place. A place it considers safe. And when it sticks itself there, it begins to digest the food inside and it begins to create out of that food a cocoon. So you see that the structure of the caterpillar starts changing into a cocoon. And then inside the cocoon, enzymes are formed that almost begin to digest. After it has digested the food, the enzymes also now start digesting the caterpillar inside the cocoon. So you see that it is breaking down the caterpillar. So a lot of times, transformation starts with breaking down what is already there. Are you here? And that becomes very challenging, and we don't like it. Because transformation, when it is called, it comes out almost as a criticism of where you are. Are you following me? When transformation is beginning, it starts to look as if where you are is not good. It's not necessarily the case. But you have to see where you are as not as good if you want to get to something better. You will never become a millionaire if you think 10,000 in your account is rich. Hello? If you think you suddenly have 100,000 in your account or 200,000, you would think you are rich until you meet somebody who is a millionaire. So you have to see where you are as if it's not good enough, and then you move forward. If you don't get to that point, you are not likely to want to push forward. So as it begins to digest itself and break down, it stays in there and transforms. And that breakdown leads to another form. And then it breaks out of the cocoon, which is another challenge. So you see, transformation in itself is never really easy, which is why we dodge it a lot. We like to dodge transformation. We would rather enjoy staying the way we are because it's more comfortable than somebody having to first criticize how we are. And now you have to start making the effort of adjusting from where you are to where you are supposed to be. If somebody comes to me and says, your stomach is big, It's true. Gabby, it's true. And I have to accept that criticism. And now the next challenge will be getting myself to do some sit-ups and do some work until it gets better. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. So we like to dodge transformation. But I want to confront you in the most humble way with transformation, so that we don't see it as something that is negative, but as something that can actually bring the best out of us. Because nobody is ever going to say a caterpillar is more beautiful than a butterfly. There's nobody who will say that. Everyone looks at that end of transformation and says the butterfly is beautiful. I pray you get to the state of true beauty in God, that you get to the point where you are actually the way God wants you to be. And that is what he calls the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 talks also about transformation and gives us a position we should take when it comes to transformation. 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not confusional, liberty. There's a big difference. Because confusion is chaotic, but liberty is peaceful and orderly. I have liberty. I don't have disorder. Are you here? Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, we have the liberty in Christ, freedom in Christ, but we don't have confusion in Christ. Let's go on. Verse 18. But we all, say we all, all of us, with open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Say the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Paul is telling them, all of us are supposed to look at a particular image. You are looking at it like you are looking into a mirror. And you are looking at the glory of God. You are looking at the glory of Christ. And because you are looking at it, there is transformation that can occur by what you see. I told you, the information you receive is what will lead to the transformation. And just like the butterfly that eats, it is important that we have access to the image, then we move from glory to glory. And the way we move from glory to glory is the help of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you see in Christ, the intention of God is that from level to level, from glory to glory, you start to adjust, transform until you look more like Christ. Hallelujah. Now, someone can raise the arguments, but when I was born again, the Bible says that now we have become the righteousness of Christ. When God sees me, he sees Christ. It's true. When you are born again, the image of Christ was imputed to you. But it was imputed to your spirit. Are you here, somebody? Just like the caterpillar has inside it the capacity to become a butterfly, it does not look like a butterfly yet. And the only way we see the result of the butterfly, even though it has the capacity to be a butterfly inside, the only way we would see that is transformation. Hallelujah. So you have the capacity to be the best version of yourself inside you already. You have the capacity to be like Christ in you already. You have the capacity to be the president of this nation. You have the capacity to run a $1 million company. You have the capacity to run a firm that is international. You have the capacity to build estates all over Ghana. 16 estates in 16 regions. You have the capacity in you. But the only way that person comes out is when you subscribe to transformation. Are you here? And so he's saying that what you see, You are being changed into that step by step. Every time you have the opportunity for transformation, you have to take it. Let's look at two people. Let's say Mr. T and I, because we both went to tech. Yes, we both went to tech, you see. The University of Spiritual Training, UST. Now, you finished with your degree. Computer science. Awesome. So you did 4 years. Now, I did architecture, so I finished after 6 years, give or take. Now, let's assume we're both at the same age. He's much older than I am. You can tell from the gray hair in his beard. We both enter KNUST at the same time. We both finish from the same school, let's assume. So today you are a Bochi boy. You are even wearing red just for today. Now, we both enter the same university. He goes to a class and the lecturer is teaching computer science. I go to a class and the lecturer is teaching architecture. We are both going to be, let's assume architecture is 4 years. We are both going to be in the same school for the same amount of time. We both finished from the same school. So from the school we are coming from, he did science, I did science. We did science together. Maybe we were all in S1, science 1. And now he's gone to computer science, I've gone to architecture. We have the same information from our secondary school, senior high. But when we enter university, we are exposed to different information. And because of the information we are exposed to, we may have been the same and even have done the same course in secondary school. He is going to come out as a computer scientist. I am going to come out as an architect because of the information we were exposed to. Please, do you understand this so far? When it comes to us becoming more and more like Christ, the first thing has to do with the amount of information we are exposed to. Are you here? You must make it a point that as much as possible, you will expose yourself to the information that makes you know Christ better. Not just when we come to church, but even on your own. Choose to read the Bible. Expose yourself to the Word of God. See who is Christ and what is he like, because that is the image you are supposed to become. If Christ doesn't insult, you should stop insulting. If Christ doesn't steal, you should stop stealing. Are you here? If Christ makes it a point to talk to God every morning, it's something that we should also begin to implement. It's important. Hallelujah. Now let me show you another thing. Let's say Mr. T and I all enter computer science class. You see that the likelihood is that we are all going to come out as computer scientists. Is that right? But do you know that we can all be in the same class, be exposed to the same information, but he will be in class every time. I will decide that I won't always be in class. I want to be watching Netflix and chilling. I mean, there is some so-so girl that is very nice. She has lectures 3 times in a week. I have lectures every day. The day she doesn't have lectures, I want to go and sit in her room and be chatting with her, because I'm hoping she'll be my wife one day. Please, it's hypothetical. Some people are doing seed sowing. They were doing it agriculture from secondary school. You will see that because he has given himself to the information consistently and I have not, we may all come out as computer scientists, but when work is brought, one person will do it better than the other. So you can be in the same church, in the same vicinity, receiving the same information, but how much you yield yourself to the information will determine how much you become like that information. You submit to the information and you become better like what you are supposed to be transformed into. Are you here, somebody? So my wish is that all of us here in Dayspring, as you are a member of Dayspring, your exposure to the information should be one thing, but you should also yield to the information so that you can be the best version of Christ. Because not everybody can see Jesus, but they can see you. Let me just make a couple of statements and then we'll pray. God desires from this scripture that we transform consistently from glory to glory. Every time you have the chance, you are exposed to the word of God and you become better every single chance you get. Transformation is not only at salvation. Salvation is like admission. You see the example I just gave? Salvation is you got admission to the university. The only way you will come out and be like Christ is if you submit to the information. That's why we can have people who have been Christians for 10 years, no transformation. The challenges you were faced with at the beginning are the same challenges you are faced with today. And I can tell you, if that is the case, from Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it's very likely when it comes to your walk with God, you are not where God's will should be. You are not where you should be when it comes to God's will. Are you following me? There must be consistent, continuous transformation. Can I say something? God is more interested in changing you than changing your situation. God is more interested in changing you than changing your situation. Let me explain. If you have a challenge, you may be very, very gifted. But if you have a challenge and you are asking God, change the situation for me. I don't want to be in this situation. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. And you're asking God, please help me. Give me money. Change the situation. Change it for me. I can tell you that God is more interested in changing you than changing the situation. Because if he gives you money, he has changed your situation. But if he gives you wisdom on how to manage the money and makes you wise, even if you have 10,000, you will manage it better and have money at the end. Please, are you following me? So God is more interested in transforming you than transforming the situation. Women are crying. We can't find good men. Nobody wants to marry us. I can tell you, God is more concerned with changing you than just giving you a husband to marry. Because I can tell you, there is a need of transformation. I don't understand though. Maybe it's from my family. Every time I talk to a lady, the lady will just have one meeting with me and she will say, you are not my type. And your type, I say, you need transformation. Like, you have to transform. There's a change that has to occur in you. There's a change. Charismatics have become people that want to pray. God, change the situation. Let there be the sound of an abundance of rain. There will be rain, but can you become someone that can put his head between his knees for 7 times and pray? Because every change of situation requires a change of the person too. Can I say something else? A lot of times we are looking for transformation from events. That if something bad happens to you, then you realize I have to change. A lot of times we only realize that we need to change when something negative has, something very negative has happened. God is not interested in waiting for negative things to happen before you change. If you submit to the word of God, he can change you before the situation comes. Tell somebody, God wants us to change. God wants us to transform. I was speaking to a gentleman who came to me, and I'm not sure what his private life is like, but from what he came to tell me, I could tell that he probably had a sexual challenge in his private life, because he came to me and said he's scared because somebody that he considered to be close to him, like a girlfriend, went to the hospital because she wasn't well and was diagnosed with HIV. And he's afraid because he's not sure what his diagnosis will be like. I'm saying this because a lot of times, even as Christians, we do things assuming that it can't happen to us. But this person is a believer. This person is a Christian. And so I said, hey, let us pray. And so I prayed with him. Later on, he went to do the test and it came out negative. I don't know if maybe our prayer changed it. I can't tell. Maybe God had mercy on him. I don't know. But you can imagine, after an event like that, you would think that this gentleman, he will change. That the event will cause a certain transformation. It doesn't always work like that. Otherwise, some of the things that you said in January, you would have done it by now. True or false? You would have done it by now. Like, they said, no, as for this year, I have decided. No turning back. But they have done 360 like 5 times. There can be. Hallelujah. May that not be your story. The challenge is sometimes, after we go through a very bad thing, it doesn't click. Because when God saves us from it, we ourselves are not transformed. And so we see the event happen again and again. Because I think that a gentleman who has a lady who is trying to find out your secret, after she has tried the first time to find your secret and you lied to her, you sleep and wake up, and the thing you told her as a lie, she has applied it on you. You should have changed. Are you here? Oh, you said that, oh, if they use a particular rope to tie you, you will not be able to lose yourself. And you sleep and you wake up, and that rope is on you. It should occur to you that this person is targeting you. But he tears it. He sees that, oh, he's free, he's fine. No matter what, he's okay. Because he's still something. Second try. And after a number, you still are able to tell this person. Are you seeing the danger of not transforming? Of not changing your mind? Of not becoming a different person? That you will meet the same circumstance and it will not click. That at some point, I should be different and not the circumstance. That if I become different, that if I look at her and say, hey, I told you this thing, you tried it. Me and you, we are finished. He will still have his eyes. He will still have his strength. God will still be able to use him. I pray for every single one of us here. May we transform when God needs us to transform. May we change when God needs us to change. That when life hits you, you will adjust. That when the word of God confronts you, there will be a change in your life. In this season, especially in this season of Christianity, in this season, a lot of people are teaching a lot of things from everywhere. And sometimes we don't realize, with everything we get, it is transforming you in a certain way. I said the last time that a lady would not divorce easily if she doesn't have 4 different women who are her friends who have also divorced and are telling her, oh, divorce. the information she's getting is what is going to influence her. This season, the word of God is coming from everywhere. Now there is a church in every corner. There are people preaching everywhere. Everybody is saying they are talking for God. And if you listen, the danger is what you are hearing can transform you. It is the information you are receiving. So you can easily get something that you will be open to because the person said he's a pastor. I'm not chastising any pastor at all, please. I've not mentioned any name. But my encouragement is before you let something transform you, check the word of God and make sure that what is being said is also from the word of God. You are in danger if all you do is come on Sunday morning, hear a sermon, and go. It is dangerous because not every sermon may have its foundation in the word of God. It's good that as much as possible, sit with the word of God like the Bereans did, that after Paul preached, they took their time and checked to see if what he was saying was in the word of God. I consider myself to be a decent preacher. Decent. But I can tell you, if I ever preach something that is not in the word of God, don't take it. Don't take it. And I can say it with my chest. Because if you don't take it, you are safe. But if I preached it, God will judge me. I will rather take my time and understand the word of God and come and share it than waste time to come and give you meko, strange things, because I want to preach revelation. I would rather preach simply like this with nobody shouting and preach the truth and keep it as the truth and stay in the truth than to come and say nice things in your ears and a lot of it is not from God. It means that as much as possible, we must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit as we receive the word of God. Are you here, somebody? We must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So whenever you hear a sermon, even if in this spring, ask yourself, what is it that this sermon is asking me to adjust? What is it asking me to change? Because you have 52 opportunities every year to change an aspect of your life. Last 2 weeks, a gentleman in this church came to me and said, Pastor, God bless you. Since you came and since we started talking, I've been able to save 12,000 CDs in my account. I've never had that kind of money before. Clap well. Some of you don't have that money in your account. Some of you don't have that money. Amen. I pray that you have that money minimum in your account. And I said, it's not because of our meeting. It's because you chose that what I told you, you will apply it. So if anything, I should be clapping for you that you chose to listen and you chose to apply it. Hallelujah. And the same will happen for every single one of us, including me. I can't assume that I'm a preacher. So when I come and give you the information and I sit down and cross my legs and watch you enjoy life. No, I want to enjoy life with you. I want to have the best of life with you. I want to see good the way you want to see good. Are you here? It will happen to all of us if we all decide 52 times in a year. It can be even 104 because of Wednesday meeting, Wednesday teaching service, that you receive some information. And an aspect of you will begin to transform. And as that transformation occurs, you become more and more like the Christ you are called to be. Not everybody will see Jesus, but they will see you. And I pray that when they see you, they see the best version of you. They see you in all your glory. They see you the way Christ wants you to be. Some people will not receive the gospel out of your mouth, but they will receive the gospel out of your life. that they've done Kululu and they don't have what you have. Are you here? They've tried every means of adjusting themselves and getting connections. They still don't have what you have. It will be a message enough to them. And it's because you consistently, continuously adjusted, changed, moved from one state to another. That is why when God speaks, I don't think there's any word that, anything that can rebuke a man more than the word of God. There's nothing that can confront a man more than the word of God. And I'm telling you, when a man confronts you, you can argue. But when the word of God comes at you like that, you can't change much. You can't fight much. It was written before all of us. And when you see it, the next thing is to adjust. Ladies and gentlemen, my desire for all of us is consistently we transform from one level of glory to the other. That you will be in this spring for about 5 years and we can see a clear difference in what you are now and what you will be in 5 years. And I'm not just talking about spiritually, but everything around you will be like a watered garden because of what you receive, because of what you hear. May God bless you. May God cause you to transform consistently. May the Holy Spirit help you and make you the best version of yourself. The best version of yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Dayspring Podcast. Hope you were blessed. Connect with us on all social media platforms at ICGC Dayspring. God bless you.